This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our online community. We would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 10 a.m. at the City Forum. In the meantime, if you would like to share a prayer request, make a financial contribution, or take any step at Real Life, you can text Keep It Real with no spaces to 97000. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Thanks, Trevor. Good morning. Happy New Year. Set this up. So I'm Noah. My wife, Michelle, and I are the community group directors here at Real Life. I'm always excited at the opportunity to come and speak and teach, and so I'm excited this morning. So I like to start with a couple jokes. Michelle never really appreciates my jokes. Usually it's only one or two of our five kids that appreciate them, so here we go. At a party, a young wife got onto her husband. "That's the fourth time you've gone back for ice cream and cake. Doesn't it embarrass you?" And he said, "Why should it?" answered her spouse. "I keep telling them it's for you." I like that. All right, one more. I know, they're not great. A child asked his father, "How were people born?" So his father said, "Adam and Eve made babies. Then their babies became adults and made babies and so on." The child then went to his mother and asked her the same question, and she told him, "We were monkeys, then we evolved to become like we are now." And the child ran back to his father and said, "You lied to me." And his father replied, "No, your mom was talking about her side of the family." It's a joke. All right. This morning, Joshua 1:1-9 is where we're going to be. So, Into the Unknown is the title of this. Now, we're constantly moving into new seasons, into new areas of growth, new jobs, new marriages, new relationships, new expectations of ourselves, our spouses. We move from places where we're comfortable and have stability into places of unknown, where all of a sudden we're out of our comfort zone, we feel inadequate, and we're not really sure the places that we're moving into, right? We're lacking confidence when there's an unknown. But the Lord is always more concerned with growing us into the people that He created us to be, rather than our feelings of adequacy and comfort. He loves to create a gap between our ability and the circumstances that we're in. Right, so here's the truth. Wherever He calls us, whatever the Lord is growing and healing in us, He will always equip and provide. See, it's in the tough times that He grows and equips us to be aware of Him and to take His hand as we move into and through those places. All right, let's take a minute and pray. Father, man, we know that You are here. We just invite You, Holy Spirit, come and be with us. We invite You here with us this morning. You are who this is all about. And so we want to glorify You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you can go ahead and turn to Joshua 1:1-9. But I'm going to set some of the context first. So Moses, right, had led the Israelites. There were about 600,000 men, the Bible says. So we can assume there were 1 to 2 million, at least, of the Israelites. Let him out of Egypt, right? Should have been an 11-day journey, turns into a 40-year hike through the wilderness due to disobedience and unbelief. They bought death of a generation and a whole shift in their timeline. Now, Joshua had been there throughout this time. He was watching. He was learning. There were even accounts of him lingering after Moses' time with God in the tabernacle where he was in his presence, just lingering there to be in the presence of God afterwards. Joshua, he was only one of two spies, right, him and Caleb, of the 12 that were sent out into the promised land, into Canaan, to scout it out, right, and see this is the land that God had promised him. So he was only one of two who actually came back and gave an account that was full of confidence and trust in what God said, the truth, rather than the other 10 who actually spoke what was true, giants, right, in there, but it was an unbelieving, and it was a doubtful account that actually caused 40 more years in the wilderness. So he was only one of two that did that. Now, Moses was known as an amazing prophet and leader who knew God face to face. In Exodus 33, we actually see that God offered Moses to get into the promised land a little sooner. He said, I'll send an angel ahead of you, wipe out anybody that would oppose you, and you can move into the promised land, right? A place of stability, of wealth, because they were living in chaos, right? They were living day to day. The people were not happy out there. They wanted to get back to slavery, because there, at least we had three hots and a cot, right? Even though God was providing them food, they didn't like being out in the wilderness where they were. So Moses could have taken this option that God provided to move into the promised land, but he didn't. Rather, he chose being with God over an easy life. Because God said, I'll send an angel ahead of you, but I'm not going to go with you. And Moses said, nope, I would rather stay out here in the wilderness than move with you, than move into the promised land, the wealth, the stability, the easy life apart from you. He sacrificed, so next slide, do we have those? Yeah, he sacrificed the perceived goodness of God, right? What the world and many within the church would call the good life for the presence of God. So he led Joshua to prioritize the presence of God over everything else. All right, we'll get to it. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. We're going to read 1 through 8, and then we'll hit 9 at the end. So read along. I'm reading out of ESV. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this, so now he's kind of laying out, this is the land, right? From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, it's going to be yours. Now, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. So we're going to bring up five truths, right, from these first eight verses. Moses dies. This is God's first commandment to Joshua. So number one is this, arise and go. He says, go into the land that I'm giving them. See, God already planned and set aside this land that he had for them, but they actually had to go, right? They had to step over the Jordan to receive the promise that he had. In the same way, we must be willing to go, to obey, to step into the unknown, to receive what it is God's already given us. See, he has plans and purposes for each one of us, but we see the promise, it was cut short, right? They didn't move into the promised land, even though it was an 11-day journey, because they didn't actually go. They didn't arise and move into it. We'll get into some of the other purposes. So we have to arise and go. That's first. Second is to go in confidence. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. So we need to take ownership of God's calling on our lives and move in confidence according to his word. Wherever God guides, a saying that an old mentor of mine would say, he says, wherever God guides, he provides, right? We have to believe when God's calling us, whatever our place of influence is, that God has given that, he actually says, right, wherever the sole of your foot treads, I've given to you. So we need to come into a place of ownership of, this is the place of influence that God has given me, and so I'm going to move forward in confidence, seeing what it is God's wanting to do in me and through me in that place where he has me. Now, a part of that is our confidence is not in the circumstances, it's not in what we can see, but it's in God. Because if we look at this, right, the Lord gave this promise of the promised land to the forefathers, and he gave it to Moses, and yet none of them actually saw it come into fruition. And so they were following and living for a promise that they never saw come into it. So the confidence of what God is giving us is not actually in what we're seeing, but it's in him. Does that make sense? We can't look at just the circumstances because we may see something that's true, but it's not the whole truth. Like when the spies went out into the land of Canaan, they saw what was true. This was the promised land, and there were giants, and it looked really scary. But the truth of the situation was that this was the promised land, and God was giving it to them, but he was bigger than those giants, and he was going to move them out by his power, not by their might. Three is, I will be with you. No matter what, he says, just as I was with Moses. See, the Lord tells him, Moses was amazing, not because of his natural ability. He wasn't amazing because he was a great speaker or he was cool and trendy or anything. He was organized, hardworking. See, Moses was amazing because God was with him. That's what he was known. He was known as a man who knew God face to face. Graham Cook says it this way, one man or woman walking with God is in the majority. See, everything in our life is all about being with God and walking with him. Four is be strong and courageous. See, there's no doubt Josh was petrified. He would have been absolutely scared, right? Moses, who had led these 1 to 2 million Israelites into or through the wilderness and going to the promised land, he lost the right. Like, he messed up. He screwed up. He lost the right to be able to lead them into the promised land. Now he's taking over. He's got 2 million people that are not happy where they are, that have just, that are having a hard time, right, with where they're at. And on top of that, he's told, be strong and courageous 4 times. So in the Bible, if God says something once, we know that it's important, right? He says something twice to provide emphasis, right? Behold, behold. He wants to make a point. So he says something 3 times. It's a little bit more. He tells Joshua 4 times in the first chapter to be strong and courageous. So there's got to be a reason that the Lord continually says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, because Josh needed that. He needed that boost. So be strong and courageous. Now, obviously, he had fear. Now, fear of the unknown is normal, right? It's how we deal with fear that actually sets our course. So there's a difference in having fear and being ruled by fear. One gives us a healthy focus and dependence on God, right? It keeps us on edge. It's good for us to have those butterflies before something. It keeps us focused. It keeps us alert, right? There can be a healthy fear. The other makes us vulnerable to debilitating lies of the enemy. See, when we choose to be ruled by fear, then we're going to succumb to the lies that the enemy are telling us. And there's a big difference in those things. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous for you. Remember, he's speaking to Joshua. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I promised to give them. So Joshua will cause the people to receive the blessing, the favor, the promise of God. Right? That's no small thing. So let's look at it this way. The way that we follow God actually impacts the lives of those around us. I know, that's a really good point. Right, let me say it in another way. I'm just joking, y'all. Be serious. Here's another way. Those we lead, we either cause them to inherit the promise of God or we lead them away from his promises. See, the Lord tells him, you're going to cause these people to inherit the promise. When we look at the 10 spies who came back and gave their report, they actually led a whole nation away from the promise that God wanted to give them at that time. So the way that we live our lives impact those around us. The way that we live as spouses or as parents can actually usher and lead our children and our family into the promises of God, or we lead them away from it. And that's a pretty significant thing. So God being with us is the key to courage, boldness, obedience, wisdom, and causing others to inherit his promises. Now I want to take a minute to go back in time to Moses. He was alive, right, giving Joshua his initial commissioning. This is in Deuteronomy 31. The Lord speaks to him a couple times within there before Moses' death. Now, once before and then once during the commissioning of Joshua, when one, the Lord is speaking to Moses and to the people commissioning Joshua, he says, the Lord describes how the people of Israel are going to forsake him. They're going to live in disobedience. They're going to worship other gods. They're going to abandon him. And then Moses even repeats this in his departing speech. This is kind of messed up, right? Moses' departing speech. He's like, Joshua and the people, all of these people are going to forsake God. They're going to turn to evil, evil's going to befall them. There is nothing encouraging about a speech like that. I mean, do you see how difficult this would be for Joshua, right? The Lord and Moses are both basically prophesying that the people are going to forsake the Lord. So Joshua is inheriting a people who are already destined to disobey God and walk away from him. So how many of us find ourselves in situations where maybe with a spouse or a child where it seems hopeless, where they're away, where we're like, there's no way that they're coming back to God, or family or friends where there's no hope in this, right? Maybe it's a job or other circumstances. But here's the point. The Lord is more focused on the return, the restoration, and the freedom than the mistakes and the failures. See, God already knew how bad they were going to screw up, and yet he gave them a new leader. He promised to stick with them. He still fulfilled his promise, and he brought them into the promised land. He never left them. So know this, as we move into the unknown, no matter what happens, no matter how bad we screw up, he will never give up on us. It's never too much for him. No matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, he already knows every mistake and every failure that you're experiencing, and he's got the solution. See, Jesus was actually crucified before the foundation of the world. Before sin came into place, God already had a solution. So anything in your life, in your past, present, or future, he's already got a solution for, and he's already covered. And he says, you're my saint. I've cleansed you. I've cleaned you. You're pure and you're holy. So the redemption, the restoration, and the freedom are right there waiting for you. Now, in leadership, the leadership aspect of this, the focus must be more on what God is developing and calling you to do than measures of success, than numbers, than goals, than accounts. See, God loves the process more than the results. So we cannot be results-driven leaders, or we miss the priority of being with Jesus and following him. Moses, if you look at kind of his stats, right, he got the people out of Egypt. That's a win. They left with enough money to kickstart an economy. The Egyptians just giving them money, right? That's a win. They cross the river. They escape. That's a win. And then the people make idols. That's a loss, right? The people moved into unbelief. That's a loss. The people disobeyed. A loss. Moses, if he was judged on how the people lived or those metrics, he probably would have been seen as a failure. But his legacy was this. Moses was a man who knew God face to face. That was his legacy, and that's how he was known. All right, 5. Careful to obey is the final. Careful to obey. He says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, right? We have weights, things in our lives that are just hindering us that may be good, not necessarily sin, because he differentiates the two. Lay aside every weight and sin, which clings so closely, and run with endurance the race set before us. So we don't obey to earn love or acceptance. Rather, we learn to love, and obedience flows out of relationship. We're co-laboring with God in this journey that we're on. So sometimes we lose our way with holiness, right? With obeying God's commands. We're not called to obey in a legalistic way. Rather, we're called to obey in a way that preserves our relationship with God and facilitates wise choices. See, it's not okay for us to justify weights or sin in our lives because of societal norms. Judgmentalism, critical spirit, greed, negativity, objectifying women, pornography, gossip, arrogance, quick-temperedness, bitterness, wrath, selfishness, lying, the list goes on. Some of these are looked at as acceptable, and even within the Christian community, it may not be an obvious acceptance, but rather turning a blind eye or making excuses. We call it someone part of someone's nature, or that's just kind of how they are, or it's just a struggle that they have. We say that the end justifies the means, and we make excuses to permit a lifestyle of sin, and that's not okay. right? So what do we do? How do we step into the unknown? How do we live in obedience and cause others to step into their promises? Moving forward with hope when we see failure and evil and loss. So Joshua 1:8, we're going to pull four truths out of this. We'll read it first. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One is this. We keep his word on our lips, which means it's on our minds, renewing our thoughts, right? Romans 12:1, he says, we're transformed through the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2. So to meditate literally means, it means to groan or to murmur, right? It's this idea of repetition in it. So there's meditation, right? Sometimes it gets a bad rap, meditation, but there's absolutely biblical meditation that's important that he's talking about here. Meditate on it. So Psalm 23:1 is one that kind of comes to mind, right? The Lord is my shepherd. So what does that meditation look like, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe it's under your breath. The Lord is my shepherd. And we continue to repeat and declare and speak his word until we begin to experience him as our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we continue, the Lord is my shepherd. And it may just be a verse, maybe something that he's spoken to you, but it's on our mind. We continue meditating on it, murmuring it, repetition, speaking it again and again and again until we actually begin to experience the truth of Scripture, the truth of his word. Two, do what it says. We make good choices. So we talk about with the kids all the time. It's all about our choices, right? We make good choices. Yeah. Do one right thing at a time, all right? Identify where the Holy Spirit is working within you. Patience, respect, boldness, compassion, generosity, self-control, speaking, encouragement. Maybe it's just shutting your mouth and keeping your mouth closed. Maybe it's not typing something out. Honesty, selfless service, loving well. Just do that one right thing and give yourself a break in other areas. When the Holy Spirit identifies an area of our life that's not working, right, we can get excited because that's the sight of the next miracle in our lives. But what we don't need to do, what the enemy loves to do is say, yeah, maybe the Holy Spirit's working on this, but what about this and this and this and this and this that's also jacked up in your life? And all of a sudden, at least me, I'm like overwhelmed and there's guilt and you're like, well, what's the point? So we just do one right thing at a time. What is it the Holy Spirit's doing? Let's just focus on that and let's move forward with that, right? The other things will come. We receive grace, we receive mercy. There's never an excuse for sin in our lives, but there's also a truth that the Holy Spirit needs to be working on that area for us to actually have transformation, because we don't do this. Religion is trying to be good rather than relationship is where the Holy Spirit's working and we're moving in obedience with him. Three, be strong and courageous. So those words strong actually mean the Greek for strong in there, or sorry, the Hebrew, is fasten upon or seize. To fasten upon or to seize. And that word courageous is to be alert or steadfast. So I see it like this, right? So we live a life fastened or abiding to Christ, constantly seizing him, aware of what the Spirit is speaking and doing, steadfast in obeying and keeping with him. And we do this through keeping our eyes fixed on him, our minds, and obeying him in the small things, in the little things. Four, no fear, no dismay. The enemy loves to use, yeah, we just got a couple minutes if the worship team wants to start making their way up. No fear, no dismay. The enemy loves to use fear and despair around us to distract us from fixing our eyes on Jesus. But we do not get our cues from our circumstances or the world around us. So, see, when the spies, again, going back to it, when the spies went out to the promised land, right, on their mission. They came back, and what they saw was true. There were giants in the land. But as we said earlier, it wasn't the truth of the situation. What they did is they pulled their cues and their perspective from the natural and just solely from what they saw, which was very intimidating. What they didn't take into account was how God was looking at them and their circumstances and what God was doing in the midst of it. It's kind of like with Elisha and his servant, where Elisha's servant walks out and he sees an army and he's afraid. Why? He has fear and he has despair. And Elisha comes out and he's seen in the spirit, and he's also seen what God is doing in the midst of that, which is he was surrounded with a bigger army that couldn't be seen in the natural. So what may be true is not necessarily the truth of our circumstances, because we're not taking into account what God is doing in us and through us. 1 Peter 1:13, I'm reading the Passion Translation. So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you. As God's obedient children, never again shape your lives by desires that you followed when you didn't know better. Instead, shape your lives to become like holy ones who called you. For the scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. So grace, the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the people he already sees when he looks at you, comes through revelation, right? It comes through a revealed experiential knowledge of the Spirit of God. So as we move into the unknown this year, Jesus reveals himself to us as we set our mind on him, intentionally maintaining an awareness of him throughout our day, obeying him in the small things, and making a choice to do the right thing as we go with God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. And we want more of you. We ask for more of your grace, your empowering presence for the upcoming day, the upcoming week and month, for this year, so that as we move into the unknown, that we can begin to make one small right choice as we go with you, that we become more aware of what you're speaking and doing in us and around us and through us, so that we can come into alignment with you and begin to see you transform our lives miraculously as we walk and go with you and actually usher our families, our spouses, our kids into the promises of God, because that's so beautiful and because you are glorified as your kingdom comes. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.